Philippians chapter number 1, we've spent two Wednesday nights in verse number 1, and I really thought, I really did, I mean, I've been looking at this, and I said, well, we'll get down along there somewhere about verse 6 tonight. We're going to make up for some lost time. But I started looking at verse 1 again and started chewing and meditating, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So we're going to probably just be in verse 1 again tonight. Amen. Will that be all right? The Bible said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 3. I can't wait to preach on this a little while, teach on whatever. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I don't know about you, but that's pretty special. That comes from the heart. Amen. And when God's people are walking with God and in fellowship with God and in fellowship one with another, well, I tell you what, you just can't help but think of one another to thank my God. I was back there, Brother John's little baby, Owen, he ain't been gone but two Sundays. Rest of you can go on back. Just don't take Owen with you. Amen. Amen. But I missed that boy. Amen. I really did. I appreciate our families. I can't think of them without thanking God for them. In verse number 1, we're going to key in on something tonight. We talked in detail about Paul and Timothy and the background of the book and all of that. And the servants, we looked at that word servants and spent a lot of time there, meaning a bond slave. You know, Paul, in some of his epistles, when he starts out, he says, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Brother Gale, he was so close to the church at Philippi, he didn't have to defend his apostleship. Amen. He didn't have to start out in defense of who that he was in the Lord and what his office was. But he says, the servants of Jesus Christ. And I thought that was neat. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. I was thinking about this afternoon, about his son in the faith. And if you haven't picked up on it already, there's a young man in our youth group that has a special place in my heart. His name is Zach. And Zach came to me last night after I preached. And I was standing over there by myself, and Zach came to me, and this is what he said. He said, Pastor, he said, while you was preaching tonight, he said, God's working in my heart. He said, he wants me to do something, Pastor. I don't know what it is, but he wants me to do something. I said, son, you stay in that Bible and you keep talking to him, and I'll guarantee you he'll show you what he wants you to do. Amen. You say, preacher, God can't use Zach. I say, you're wrong. God can use Zach. God can use you. I've always felt if he can use me in some little old way, he can use anybody. Amen. For the glory of God. Timothy was his son in the faith. Boy, it's good to have a son in the faith. Now watch this. He says, I like this. He said to, what's that next word? All the saints. You say, preacher, I don't see what's so special about that word. I do. There was no schism. There was no division. Paul wasn't directing his letter to just a few in this corner at Philippi, or a few in this corner at Philippi, or a few over here in this corner. He said, I got something to say to all of you. Amen. And I believe that's good, don't you? It's good. It's good. I'll tell you what, right now, you let a family, a church, a pastor, an individual start to have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons, and I tell you, the Spirit of God will be so grieved, you won't see nothing happen around that place. Amen. And so Paul, he's writing to all the saints. I like that. All the saints. Now, I thought about this, just the word saints. What's that mean? Well, it means holy. It means set apart. Now listen, I'm not fussing tonight. I've actually said this. I'm sure I've said it in preaching. I'm sure I've said it in conversation. But sometimes we hear things and we say something like this. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you know what a sinner saved by grace is? A saint. That's what a sinner saved by grace is. A saint. Amen. What's that word mean? It means holy. It means set apart. That God set us apart. Amen. For His honor and for His use. You think about the vessels in the tabernacle. You know, 40 years. I guarantee you that those pots and those pans and those flesh hooks and all that stuff were pretty rough looking after 40 years of use in the tabernacle. Amen. But you know what? They were still holy. God had still set them apart. God still had a job for each one of those instruments in that tabernacle. Amen. And God has a job for you. God has a job for me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that tonight. It's not what you see that makes us a king. You say, preacher, you say, it looks rough on the outside. Yeah, that's right. But you see, it's that inside that's holy. It's that inside that's white. It's that inside that's spotless. Amen. Thank God there's coming a day. We're supposed to strive to the best of our ability that our outside would line up with our inside. But to the best of our ability, we fail. Can I get some help right there? But thank God there's a day coming. Amen. When the outside's going to line up perfect with the inside. Why? Because I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to have a glorified body. And I'm going to be just like Him. I don't know about you tonight. That blesses my heart. We're looking here tonight at this word saints. And then we're going to get right on in here to another little phrase. But I read this tonight. It's not original with me. I read it. I read that someone said there's two kinds of people in the world. Saints and ain'ts. Kind of sounds like the black lady's testimony there in the church where my grandfather preached. It was a custom at the end of the service for a pastor or an evangelist to say something like this. Does anyone have a word on your heart? They said this black lady stood up in the back of the church and said, yes, sir, I do. I want to tell you white folk one thing, and I want to tell you black folk the same thing. Either you is or you ain't. And she sat back down. Amen? That's good preaching if she was doing it. Amen? We're either in or we're out. We're either a saint of God or we're lost without God. Still dead in our trespasses and in our sin. I want to look at something tonight. If this blesses you a fraction of the way that it blessed me today, it'll bless your heart. I want to look at a little phrase here in verse number one. This is where I got hung up. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now, you know, a while ago we talked about saints and ain'ts and either saved or lost, on our way to heaven or on our way to hell. You say, well, what makes the difference, preacher? Well, here it is. Either you're in Christ Jesus or you're outside of Christ Jesus. I started looking at this, and I'm telling you, it blessed my heart. Think about this just for a moment, and I'm going to get into some things tonight that I pray will be a blessing to you. In Christ Jesus, in, that word in, that depicts a position. That's our position tonight. If we're born again, if we're saved by the grace of God. I love that song, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I. Why does He see me like that? Because He sees me in Christ Jesus. That's the way He sees me tonight. Our position. But it also speaks of a person, of Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot, and I'm not fussing tonight. You can say, well, preacher, what is the plan of salvation? And You can take the Bible and go to the book of John and lead somebody to Christ. Or you can go to the book of Romans and lead somebody to Christ. You can go to the book of Revelation and lead somebody to Christ. You can go back over to the book of Genesis and lead somebody to Christ. Somebody said, what is the plan? Let me say this. I'm afraid that in our generation, too much emphasis has been put on the plan and not enough emphasis on the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. It all boils down to what you do with Jesus. You receive Him, heaven will be your home when you leave this world. You reject Him, you'll die eternally, lost, and suffer in the region of the damned, in a place called hell. And then it has a promise with it. This is going to go along with some of the things that I'm going to bring out to you tonight, but you say, preacher, what do you mean? I see a position in, I see the person, Christ Jesus. What is the promise that's attached to that? If you go to Romans chapter 1, how many remembers Romans chapter 7, the struggle that was going on in Paul's life? He said, the things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I would not do, I do. He comes down to the end of the chapter and he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. I tell you what's the truth. The closer you live to God, the more wretched you realize you are. Amen. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But let me give you this. You come into Romans chapter 8 and thank God that, my friend, it's turned completely around. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A lot of these modern Bibles, they'll say, well, that part right there was omitted. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash. Amen. God knew that if a man was in Christ Jesus, he wasn't going to walk after the flesh. He was going to walk after the Spirit. The Bible talks about, my friend, there's no condemnation. Let me show you some things tonight, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. I'll spend 15, 20 minutes here, the good Lord willing, trying to magnify truth from the Word of God. This little phrase, in Christ Jesus, I didn't know this till I studied. I didn't know this. That phrase is found 40 times in the Word of God. 40 times. Now, I didn't know for sure, but you know, there's something called numerology in the Bible, that numbers represent things. You know, the three in the Trinity and you go up to seven in the completion or the perfection, and eight is the number of new beginning, and I don't know them all. But and I thought I knew what 40 was. I thought 40 was the number of deliverance. But it's the number of trial and testing. That's what it is. That's what it represents. Yeah. Trial and testing. You say, well, preacher, how in the world could God use 40 times this phrase, in Christ Jesus, and have anything to do with that phrase? It just came to me immediately when I thought about it. He did all the testing. The Bible said He was tested, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible said He was holy, harmless, undefiled. He's the spotless Lamb of God. I tell you what, 40 times in Christ Jesus, and He passed the test. That's why He can be our Savior tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, I wouldn't get too excited. I'm just getting started. Amen. I'm telling you, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Saints, in Christ Jesus, saints. This phrase is used 40 times in the Bible. I'm not going to look at all 40 of them, but I want to look at a few of them tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's turn to them one at a time. Are you ready? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 3 for just a moment. I'm going to turn with you, so that'll give you time to get there. Surely you would want to make a little mark or at least take some notes and stick it in the margin of your Bible about these times here. I want to show you some. I don't have time to look at all of them, but they're special, each one of them, in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 3. and verse number 24. The Bible said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to preach on redemption tonight, but I can't say the word redemption or think about the word redemption or hear somebody say the word redemption without thinking about Hosea and Gomer. Without thinking about him going in that auction, amen, and her standing up there stripped and naked and full of shame. And him buying her, listen, not just buying her, but buying her out of that marketplace, amen. Never to be for sale again, thank God. Our Lord redeemed us, and that redemption is in Christ Jesus. That blesses me tonight, amen. It blesses my heart to think about what God has done for us. We talked about there's no condemnation. I quoted the verse a minute ago. In Christ Jesus. Turn back over there to John chapter 3 for just a moment. Let me give you a passage to go along with that no condemnation. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Brother Johnny was talking to me last night, and there were some questions that come up among the youth. And listen, I'm not going to fuss at the youth for asking questions. They're never going to get an answer if they don't ask a question. Amen. And they were asking about God and asking, is it fair? Amen. We're over there in the book of Romans where it said that they're without excuse. Is it fair for people to go to hell? And Brother Johnny wanted some help with that. And I told him, I said, listen, you can go back to a generation that turned their back on God and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that if mankind, whoever that individual is, will act on the light that God gives him, God will send him more light. Amen. He did that for Cornelius, and He'll do that for others. Amen. But here in the Bible said they're condemned already. I said to Brother Johnny last night, I said, God would still be God, and God would still be just, and God would still be right if every one of us went to hell. Amen. He's holy, and He's right. But thank God He made a way of redemption. He said, man is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, my friend, we didn't have to be condemned. We were condemned already. Thank God in Christ Jesus that condemnation changes. Look, in, if you will, at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. What a phrase in the Word of God, in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm glad I'm in Him tonight. I'm glad I'm in Him. I'm glad He's in me. The Word of God said tonight in chapter 8 and verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, watch this now, in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I was finished praying a while ago, and Brother Dwayne was finishing up over there, and he was praying something like this: God, help us to remember what the 4th of July is all about. I tell you, yes, it's about liberty. But I tell you, my friend, there's an old rugged cross that gave you and I liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, tonight, the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 39. I don't know if this is helping you tonight, but I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. I tell you what I want to do. I want us to see, my friend, this church just be a light in this dark community that we live in, so that one more might get in Christ Jesus. And then after that, one more. After that, one more. That's how people get saved, one at a time. Amen. One at a time. The Word of God said here in verse number 39. Well, let me read it all. The Bible said in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I was talking to the teenagers last night about Noah's generation.
And I listen, I don't have Bible for this, but I can only imagine that Noah and Noah's sons were mocked in that generation. They're out there building a boat. Daddy's out there preaching that it's going to rain, and it ain't never rained before. And I just can't help but think they were mocked and made fun of. And I told our kids, if you live for God, somebody will mock you and make fun of you too. Amen? But the Bible said we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Watch it now. He said, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Look at the phrase, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where do you find the love of God? I'll tell you where. In Christ Jesus. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm give up on teaching tonight. Amen. Maybe next Wednesday night. But I tell you, I'm so excited I can't stand it. Amen. To think about who we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible said here, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are, what's that next word? Now you know that word sanctified, that goes back over to that word saint. It means set apart. Set apart. A vessel. Timothy talked about it when Paul was writing to Timothy. He said they're vessels unto honor and they're vessels unto dishonor. And it means that God wants us to be set apart, and the word is meet. That means fit. For the master's use. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how is it that we're sanctified? Look at the next three words. In Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. I don't know about you tonight, but not only do we have redemption in Christ Jesus, but thank God we have sanctification in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now listen tonight. I'm nobody's judge. God is the judge. But I'll be honest with you. I worry about people that say that they're saved and live like they've always lived. And you don't see any progress in their life whatsoever. Amen? I worry about folk like that, because our Bible teaches that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now let me say this to you. Need to remember this. I said in a continual, because God's people can get out of line. Somebody say amen. But our Lord loves His people. And He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and I chasten. I'm talking about somebody that can walk in sin and live in sin and wallow in sin, and there's never a change in their life. You know what I mean. You go and ask people, are you saved? Oh, yeah, everybody's saved. Sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes people are honest and they'll tell you they're not saved. But I want you to know this tonight. If we're saved, something called sanctification. You know, I didn't understand this doctrine when I first got saved. Matter of fact, I got twisted up a little bit in this little thing of making Jesus Lord of your life. Let me tell you something right now. When you got saved, He became Lord right then and right there. You don't make Him anything. Amen. You say, now, preacher, what are you trying? Listen, we can submit to His Lordship, and we should. And that will save us, the chastening rod of God. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge. But He's Lord whether we submit or not. Amen. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. What people were in an argument about, I believe, was just saying you can repeat this little prayer. Amen. And you're saved. I'm going to tell you something right now. Salvation is of the Lord. If He does it, it's done. If He don't do it, it don't matter what else is done. It ain't done. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. I appreciate the Lord. There's sanctification in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 2:4, there's liberty in Christ Jesus. Let's read that right there together.
over there in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Our brother Gary called me this morning. I think it was this morning or this afternoon. Said, "Preacher, what do you want me to put on the sign?" He no sooner got it out of his mouth, and God give me that verse of scripture in Galatians 5:1. "Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Amen. I tell you, there's real liberty in Him. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 4, listen to what the Bible said. And beware, excuse me, that's not right. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Listen to what the Word of God said here. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, I like that, don't you? We're the children of God. Look at verse 28. "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." I see the children of God in Christ Jesus. I see unity in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say something tonight. And listen, you can label me if you want to, but I want you to know there's a lot of things today where the cross ought to bring people together. Say amen. If people have been born again and people have been at the cross, I believe with all of my heart that every one of us will get to heaven and find out that we've been wrong about something along the way. Amen. But if we're right about the new birth and we're right about, my friend, salvation by grace through faith, we're right about the cross, we're on the right side of the cross, we're going to the same place one day after a while. Amen. I believe with all of my heart there's some name tags out there and very few under that name tag saved. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Under the name tag Baptist, they're not all saved. I can guarantee you that. Amen. My friend, if Jesus would have got me, my friend had called me out, I would have been a good Baptist before I was a good Christian, before I was a child of God. And I tell you, God knows tonight that that's what makes the difference. In Galatians 6:15, I'm trying to hurry tonight. My wife warned me. She said, "You'll never get done." That's all right. Amen. She knows me better than I know me, and that's scary. Amen. In Galatians 6:15, look what the Bible said. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." There's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. I love these verses of Scripture. The Bible talks about here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I'll tell you what you can do. You can worship in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can worship in Christ Jesus. In chapter number 2, we love these verses. I'm going to shut her down right here tonight. Ain't no way I'm going to get on down through there. But I love that verse. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We believe those verses. Those verses are doctrinally sound. But not many people come along with verse 10. "For we're His workmanship, created." Hallelujah. Our first breath as a child of God, we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I hear a lot of this, and listen to me tonight. I'm not fussing, but I've heard it till it about makes me sick. 27 years of being saved. Brother Rose, they'll say, "Well, God don't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart." How many knows that's the truth? But how many knows that's not an excuse to live like heathen? Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" Well, how about this? Since a man can't see your heart, don't you reckon we ought to let our light so shine before men that men might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? Well, to let our light shine tonight. Amen. If there's a light in there, Lord, I let it shine out here. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. When it does, how many remembers when you were lost? How many can remember somebody letting their light shine?
I like to use that word ooze. I tell you what's the truth. I've been around people where God just oozed out of them. Amen. They couldn't say nothing. They couldn't. I mean, they couldn't do anything. But what God wasn't oozing out of them. Amen. I'm telling you, their speech was seasoned with salt. And every way you look, they were doing something that honored God and glorified God. They weren't perfect, and we're not either. But they're good works. The Bible said this. How about this? I think it was Paul that told Timothy to be careful to maintain good works. Light come on in my car the other day, the car that the church got for me. And you know what it said? Change the oil soon. Well, I ain't going to pay no attention to that light. I'm just going to let her go. Amen. When it blows up, maybe I'll get me another one. Are you crazy? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say a vehicle requires a little maintenance. Amen. And so do we. God wants us to maintain good works. Told my wife today, I said, honey, I got to get that oil changed. I got hers changed. Got her bulb changed. Got her light going again. Amen. In the back of it. Ain't it something that you got to take a car halfway apart to change a light bulb anymore? Amen. I hope I don't have to change the spark plug in it. That's all I can tell you. Amen. God only knows where they put them. Amen. If I have to change the spark plugs in that diesel, I will be in trouble, won't I? You guys will get that, won't you? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in Christ Jesus tonight? Isn't it wonderful to be in? You know who's going to leave and go up when Jesus comes? Those who are in Christ Jesus. You know who's going to be left behind? Those who are outside of Christ Jesus. You know which graves are going to pop open in the first advent of His return? Those who are in Christ Jesus. You know who's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body? Whether they be good or whether they be bad? Those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know who's going to stand at the great white throne judgment? Those who are outside of Christ Jesus. Well, there's only about another half a sheet. We'll come back to it. Amen. Next Wednesday night. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. Brother Knight, you glad you're in Christ Jesus, brother? I am too. I'm glad you're in. Miss Eve, you glad you're in Christ Jesus? 16 years old, I looked over at her going down the road, and I said, Eve, do you fear God? She said, no, am I supposed to? That's how ignorant she was of the Word of God. She didn't know that you're supposed to fear God. Isn't it good that God can take somebody that's ignorant and put them in Christ Jesus? I wasn't ignorant. I was walking in darkness on purpose, amen? Ain't it good that God can reach down in the darkness and pull somebody out and put them in? Christ Jesus. He specializes in it. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I pray. Oh God, last night I told the youth, our precious teenagers, I didn't want Jesus to come and part of them be in the ark. Inside the door. Part of them be outside the door. Oh God, it's my prayer for our church that when Jesus comes, each one, Lord, would be inside the door in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm so glad you picked me up out of that mess. Lord, establish my goings and put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. God, tonight, Jesus, if He would stand upon the hill in Bloomingdale, would weep over what He sees. Help us, Lord, that are in Christ Jesus, to let our light so shine that somebody else would want to get in Christ Jesus. Some, Lord, no doubt think the secret's getting in the church. Lord, there's something more important than getting in church. That's getting in Christ Jesus. Lord, we can't do that on our own. The sweet Spirit of God must birth us into the family. I pray, God, help us to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen.